Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition.
Is there anything she can't handle? She looks fear in the face day after day, but yet she never runs. She's unbreakable. She's a warrior. She's you. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. These things happen because you have to live your true self in a bigger way.
Featuring the best of Maria Menounos' SiriusXM show with celebrity and life-changing interviews, thoughts on the week, and more. And it's free. All we ask is that you rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, and tell a friend to subscribe to SiriusXM. Listen to Conversations with Maria Menounos on SiriusXM Stars 109 at 1 p.m. East. And now here's your host, Maria Menounos.
Happy Friday, everybody. Glad to be back with you on Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition, where we bring you free, fresh content along with our best of interviews from SiriusXM all week long. Hopefully, you guys like us enough here that you'll want to join us there, 10 a.m. Pacific every day.
FBIO.
You keep singing in the background, Lauren. Keep everybody up. Guys, we have a lot of fun here. We do this for free, and we love every second of it. We truly do, actually. But if you could help us out by subscribing, rating, commenting, telling us what you like, what you don't like, that would be amazing, and we would so appreciate it. In the meantime, my guest co-host for the day and the inspiration behind this song is Tamar Geller. You hear her on our show all the time. Dog trainer to the stars. My dear friend, my love.
Thank you for having me, my beautiful soul sister.
Thank you. Today, guys, we have the most amazing show for you. And it's funny because Tamar is friends with both of these guys and a student of both of these guys, just like I am. We got Tony Robbins sharing his tips from Money Master the Game. We've got AJ Gupta, who he references throughout the book and did in partnership with him. AJ Gupta is a financial planner, and he's going to talk about the power of compounding through low-cost index funds. This is a must-listen-to show, guys, and this is a must-share show. So if you love your friend and you want to help them save money and make the most of their lives, and it's really easy, literally, Lauren in our booth, we did it with her. Mm-hmm. She's been saving $20 a week.
Yes.
In a low-cost index fund, a Vanguard account. And in 20 years, she's going to wake up and she's going to have about $340,000 sitting in an account for two Starbucks coffees a week that she's giving up. She's going to have a shitload of money in 20 years. And so that is the power of compounding, and anyone can access it. And so I'm super excited to bring you guys this show. Before we get to that, I have two things I want to talk about. I'm going to try to get this in fast. So Bon Jovi, John Bon Jovi, my like hero, of course, performs our first song for our wedding. And it took me until a couple of days ago, actually maybe a week ago now, to properly thank him, because I was like, what am I going to do? How do you repay someone for going out of their way during their holiday to do something so unbelievable? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like we're like friends or anything. Like, I mean, like, he just is an angel. And so I wrote him this like long letter thanking him and like mapped out a plan of how I can help, because he has this amazing foundation. And I was like, I'll cook, I'll clean, I'll build, I'll host galas, like whatever I can do. And so he wrote me back the most amazing email. And he's like, seeing your surprised look as we watched from a sunny Florida, of course, he had to throw the dig in about how sunny it was there. He's like, was thank you enough. I literally can't with this guy. Like, I'm so moved. First of all, like, he does all this, and then he actually watches to see my reaction.
Yes.
Like, that's just unbelievable to me. Like, how real, how awesome.
Yes.
I just can't. And by the way, when you watch the video, Lauren, and Tamar was with me when I discovered this, she happened to be over training Max, which I'm going to get to. And I got the full video, he sang the wedding chapel song, like going to the chapel and we're going to get married. He sang that. Then he spoke to me. Then he performed. If you watch the video to the end, and you know me, Lauren, I'm very much about details.
Oh, yeah.
You see him smile.
Yes.
And he was so happy to do what he did. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, it melted my heart, because it wasn't like, oh, this is a good deed. I'm just going to do it. Like, ugh, let's just get it done, whatever, right? Because everybody asks celebrities. Trust me, I know. I'm like the low-level celebrity people ask everything of. Imagine being like John Bon Jovi and having hundreds of millions of fans all over the world. But it gave him such pleasure to do something nice for me. And I'll never forget it. Like, it was even more than what he did.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
The intention behind it.
Yeah.
And that's when you see who the person is. That's when you really see who is the true person, is what is his heart about. And the way he showed up for you, it was with every fiber of his being.
Yeah.
Truly, truly wanting to love you, wanting to contribute, wanting to make your day any way, shape, or form better. I mean, with the violinist.
Oh, the violinist, I couldn't. She was so amazing. And by the way, the guitarist has the same guitar I got. Epiphone, right?
I feel like that's a good sign.
The black guitar with the gold accents.
God's wink.
Dying. But
God's
the violinist, wink. Like the fact that he got a violinist to come in and do, honestly, like, I think I'll talk about this till I die. It was so amazing. But you saw him at the end. And the joy it gave him to do this, it wasn't just something he had to knock out on his list. And I don't know, it was just so remarkable. So
he's really amazing. And I really think that the more you look into him and what he's doing and how he's reaching out to prop other people up, you know, he's just an incredible, incredible human being. But by the way, so are you.
Thanks,
let's
Tamar.
You know, seriously, we all know how much you're doing. We all know how you never miss an opportunity to do good, and we all know what you've been through and what an incredible, oh my God, I'm gonna cry, what an incredible example. Because you know what, you were completely not conscious when you came out of surgery, and the surgery took way longer than expected.
Yep.
And you were completely not coherent, and what were you doing? You were reciting Rocky's,
yeah.
Right? You know, I don't even know what you call it, but what is it called?
Ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
So you need to see that, because it's so beautiful to recognize the beauty in others. Very few people do it. We need to do it more. But I really believe we also need to recognize the beauty in ourselves. And I'm here as your soul sister to share it with you, because you were not coherent. You were not doing it intentionally.
Yeah.
So here it is. What do you say when you are completely...
My subconscious,
what
yeah.
What the subconscious is about, which means what are you about? And do you know probably how that touched Bon Jovi and maybe many other people? Not maybe, for sure other people.
It did Stallone. Those
right?
are his words.
Right?
Yeah.
So you see, it's kind of like we're all in this world and we're all about... doing kind of like, how about we show from the best part of us, and you're doing it and he's doing it, and it's God, what a beautiful existence.
Well, and helping each other, like I ended the first book with, we're all here to help one another, right? And when you give, you get, right?
Yes.
It was funny, the doctor I saw recently, when I went to see Dr. Sadeghi, who was a guest on our show recently, he was like, you give so much and you don't
yes.
receive. He actually said that, and I agree. Interesting. You don't receive well. And I'm like, I feel like all I do is receive. And no, I do. Like, I feel like it's like so much. Like but I guess like I see what he's saying. Like my output every day is giving and helping. And I think I've just become so addicted to it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I've been dealing with my patients, my brain tumor patients, and you
yes.
know, I'm talking to their husbands as they're getting through surgery. And I'm like, okay, you know, one had like some facial damage. I'm like, okay, get an acupuncturist in there and let's work on some points, because I had my eye issues and my acupuncturist came in and I was cured. And so, yeah, like I feel like, yeah,
yes.
But I think that that's why the universe kind of rewards back, right? Like I know when we were getting married, the producer was like, what if it rains? I'm like, it won't rain. I promise it won't rain. I know it won't rain. And if it does rain, then I'm running, because Kevin's supposed to not marry me. Or I'm not supposed to marry Kevin. That's what I said to her. I go, then this is really not meant to be. And I'm totally taking it as a sign that God's crying.
Oh my God, you're crazy.
So,
20 years later.
Anyhow,
yes, that's a
okay,
sign.
I have to shift because we only have like 2 minutes left. But Tamar, the day I was like seeing this Bon Jovi video and I was sharing it with her because she was there, we were working with Maximus. So she comes in to work with Maximus, who became a bit of a bully, Tamar said, an entitled bully. And it made so much sense because he was barreling through us and he was being so aggressive, sweet, but just like a bully. And she comes in, and within like seconds, she's got him being so mindful and calm. And now, Tamar, I can feed him without him like literally barreling me over. Yeah. And he is so, he just sits there and he has to wait till I put the food tray down. It's unbelievable.
Now, let's say why it's particularly difficult with him is because he has a medical condition that
makes him starving.
Makes him starve. He is always starving. I mean, he's always starving.
Yeah, you hear that, burglars? So he will bite your ass because hungry.
Oh, he absolutely will.
You know that the junkyard dogs, they purposely keep them starving so that they'll bite people. Isn't that awful?
That is disgusting.
That's why I saved Apollo back in the day. Someone wanted to make him a junkyard dog. And I was super allergic. And I was like, that's it. He's coming home with me.
I want to make the person a junkyard person and starve them.
Oh, my God. Trust me. You don't want to hear my punishments for people.
Jalapeno juice in the eyeballs.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about it before, but I can't thank you enough because it really is amazing, guys, watching her work. We're going to do an entire pet week. I'm so excited with all of your experts coming up. And
my people, my team.
Oh my God, the best of the best in the world.
Yes, they are.
And just seeing someone like her in action work, it's absolutely brilliant. No choke chains, no leash, no nothing. It's unreal. So we're going to have that coming up very soon. In the meantime, we've got these great interviews that are going to help you guys gain control of your financial health. And it's so important, especially for you women out there. So I hope you love this and I hope you share it with people that you love. I always save the copy of the link and I send it to everyone that I love. I'm like, you gotta start saving money now. And it's very easy to, and I'm going to teach you how with this podcast. Listen, so take a listen to this and I hope you guys enjoy it. And I can't wait to hear you're all millionaires someday because of it. First up, you're going to hear my friend Tony Robbins share tips from his book, Money Master the Game, including the importance of investing in low-cost index funds and working with a fiduciary. So important. Tune in.
Coins that haven't been minted yet that you never have to give back. Money, 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 money. Uncle Sam puts it right on the line.
I've always loved going one-on-one with people.
Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Please welcome Mr. Tony Robbins.
Thanks for having me on again. It's wonderful to be with you.
I am thrilled and honored for you to be back here.
Thank you.
I've been reading your book incessantly, scribbling a million notes.
I know. I love seeing that.
And I can't tell you what a gift it's been.
Well, he's done many books, so specify what book.
Okay. Thank you, my love. Thank you. My fiance, Kevin Undergaro, in studio with us today. Money, Master the Game, 7 Simple Steps to Financial Freedom. I know we talked about this last time you were here. I hadn't read it yet because it was a last minute thing, but I've been reading it and I'm like hulking up financially now.
That's awesome.
It's so empowering because, and you talk about in the book, because we think it's so complicated and too hard for us to grasp, we all just throw it to the side.
Yep.
We don't deal with it. And then we deal with it in another way, which is never a good thing.
Yeah, painfully.
Yeah. Right. And so the way you wrote it was so easy to understand because I keep telling people, I'm like, guys, trust me. It is a must read. I'm like, he even gives them away for free on his website. It's a must read because it's not complicated. Like you really break it down in simple words. And because I've been to your seminars, I think I'm hearing you reading it and it's coming to me so much clearer. And there are so many things that I've put into action already. I'm working with AJ Gupta, who you mentioned in the book, and you connected me with him. And I cannot thank you yet again for another gift because he's been amazing. And I'm refinancing my mortgage right now. I'm going to save thousands of dollars that he's then going to take and go invest into some real estate, which is amazing. And I just keep telling Kevin, I'm like, we are going to have a plan. And the plan is the most important part of this because you talk about that in the book.
Yeah.
Having a plan so you see where that money is going in and what it's going to give you is so important.
And most Americans don't have a clue. You know, 1 out of 3 Americans have saved $1,000. You know, people are one paycheck away from being in a difficult place. Mm-hmm. And you'd say, well, that's because no one makes enough money today or because the middle class doesn't earn as much. And it's just not true. I shared with you, I think, in the book about Theodore Johnson, this man who literally worked for UPS for its entire lifetime. He never made more than $14,000 in a year. And yet he retired with $70 million. Now people say that's impossible. And he, by the way, he gave away $35 million while he was alive.
I know.
And the way he did it was understanding compounding. We all have heard it. We all know it. But he understood because someone pulled him aside and said to him, I want to make sure you're financially free. It's basically the conversation I was having with you.
Yeah.
And saying the only way to do that is you'll never, no matter how much you earn, great, you know, movie stars, great athletes. You see these people make fortunes and then they're broke 10 years later.
Yeah.
And it's because income has to be grown while you sleep. You have to do something that makes money while you sleep. That's how you get financially free. And even if you start with the tiniest amount of money, like this man did, $14,000 a year, how he got $70 million is a friend of his said, listen, I'm going to put a tax on you. We're going to put a 20% tax on you. And he said, I can't pay 20%. I don't have enough money to pay my bills. He goes, if the government came by and put a 20% tax on you, you'd scream, you'd yell, you'd say you're not going to pay it, but you'd have to pay it. And you would, and you'd adjust. He said, but that 20% is going to make you wealthy. And they took 20% of his little $14,000 a year and just kept reinvesting it and became $70 million. So people, I think, they don't understand how easy it is for you to become truly successful. And what I did in this book is instead of coming with my ideas, I interviewed 50 of the smartest people in the world, the Carl Icahns, the Warren Buffetts, and then put it down into something so simple anybody could follow through.
Well, and that's what, when I look at you guys, I look at Nick and Lauren, our you know, teammates here at Sirius Radio, producers, engineers. You guys make more than 14 grand a year,
right? I hope so.
So guess what? 70 million could be yours. But this is what, ever since I've been reading this book, I've been running around in the hair and makeup room. I'm like, you guys, just commit to one number.
That's right.
One number, $20 a week. And it's going to yield you so much later. But can you explain to them how compounding works exactly?
In a real simple understanding, it's you know, if you have a dollar and you double it, it's $2. You double it again, it's $4. So that's compounding and a doubling. 20 doubles, it's $1,048,000. A little detail: if you pay 35% in taxes instead of $1,048,000, after 20 compoundings, you have $28,000. So taxes are critical. And in the book, as you know, I show you what you got to do to make sure that you really protect what you're investing so it has real value. But, you know, an example is if someone put aside and said, I'm gonna give up one night a week of going out to dinner and we're going to have a pizza instead, and I'm going to save $40 a week. And you do that over the course of a year and you keep just reinvest that in an index fund like the S&P 500. That's code for the top 500 stocks. And it's the cheapest way to buy those stocks, the S&P 500, an index fund. If you put your money in that and you grow it and you do it at its natural compounding, which is 7 or 8% through time, you're going to have $500,000 if you just put aside $40 a week. And that's something that makes a difference between whether somebody's got to work for a living or whether, you know, and be a, you know, the best dressed older shopper or helper at you know, Walmart, or whether you can truly be financially free. So anyone can do it, but you've got to tap into that process. And the sooner you start, the better, with the littlest amount of money.
But you can't miss a week.
You can't miss a week.
That's where it's like the domino effect.
Because if you, what you see is that there'd be an example that was given to me by a gentleman who wrote a book that was one of the first books that explained indexing. And he's a professor and he walked me through this process. And he said, what if I got two brothers? And he said, let's say Harry and Joe. And Harry starts out at, you know, 25 years old and starts to invest. And he invests $300 a month, you know, basically $3,000 a year. And his brother, and he does it for 20 years, from let's say 20 to 40. His brother starts at 40 and does it to 65. So one guy's doing it 20 years, the other guy's doing it 25. One guy's putting in 80,000 over a lifetime, the other guy's putting in 100,000. Who has more money at age 65? The first one, but by how much? Well, the brother that started at 40 and put more money in, you know, he's got $500,000. The brother that started at 20 and ended at 40, putting this tiny amount of money in, has got $2.5 million. So the 2.5 versus $500,000, and one put in more time. So the sooner you start, even with a tiny amount of money, like you guys just getting started, you said, and there's a great tool in the book. I interviewed this gentleman who's a genius, and he understands behavioral psychology around economics. And he said, one of the biggest things people always say is they just don't have the money to invest. And he said, so we came up with this idea that everyone can lose weight tomorrow. Everyone can go on a diet tomorrow. So everyone can save tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he said, here's what we're going to do. He went to this group in the Midwest and he said, I want you to save 3%. Anyone can do 3%. You're not going to notice that. So they put in 3%. He said, but here's the rule. Every time you get a raise of any sort, 3% of that raise permanently, you never see it go straight into this investment account. Well, within 12 years, the average person was saving 17%. 30% were saving 20% or more, and 20% or more put you in the place where you literally will be wealthy.
See?
I mean, it's as long as the way you do it is you don't get eaten up in fees, which I talk about in the book. Because if you don't know what you're doing, these people, the financial world, you know, there's this old phrase that says when a person with money meets a person with experience, the person with the money ends up with an experience, and the person with experience ends up with the money.
Right? It's true. You know? Well, you know, so when you were on the show last time, you were talking about fiduciaries and brokers, which I never knew the difference between. Obviously, now I know that a fiduciary has a legal obligation to do what's right for you.
That's right.
So,
which you would think everyone would have, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to a doctor or a lawyer, they have to put your needs first.
Yeah.
95% of the people in the financial area call themselves wealth managers. You know, there's 300 terms for them, but they're a broker. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with a broker. They're good people. They might even put the money where they tell you to put it themselves, but they work for the house. And it's like, you know, it's like Vegas. The house always wins. The house is not trying to make you money. They're a public company. They're trying to make more profit for their shareholders. Nothing wrong with that, except when it comes to finances, it means you get screwed because it's so complex that people don't understand that a 1% fee, which sounds like nothing, well, the average mutual fund costs 3.12. If you're paying 3% versus 1%, that's 2% more. You go, what's a big deal? Compounding, once again, fees.
Yeah.
1% in fees will cost you 10 years of income at retirement.
Isn't that amazing?
1% of fees. 2% is 20 years of your life you gave up.
Yeah, but we don't think about it like that. I never even thought about it like that. Right now, I'm remortgaging my thing. And just the difference between 2% is saving me thousands and thousands of dollars. But what's amazing to me, too, is I ran around and started asking all of my friends, right? You talk about how amazing it is when you pass on the knowledge to us and then we go off and pass it on, too, right? So I ran around. I'm like, do you know if you have a fiduciary or a broker? And I'm telling all of my wealthy friends this. And most of them, they're like, I don't know.
That's right.
And I'm like, by the way, what do you mean you don't know? You're wealthy.
Multi-millionaires and even billionaires.
Oh, yes. Trust me, I see it all the time. And the reason is because they're usually good business people, but they're not good investors.
Yeah.
Right? And so they're making enough money in their business to do well, but many of those wealthy people later in life will lose their money. So you want to become a great businessman or woman and a great investor, and it's not that complex. Once you learn these tools,
it isn't.
Literally, it's once or twice a year that you might sit down for 30 minutes with a fiduciary, with somebody really smart. Now, you know, full disclosure, when I wrote the book so anyone could do it themselves. Then afterwards, I started thinking, I know people's nature.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to read it and maybe not fall through. So who could I work with? So I created a place for people to go called Portfolio Checkup, where they could put in their information and they could see what they're really being charged. And we spent a fortune. I built the technology. I gave it away. I didn't take any money from it, just like the book. This book, by the way, 100% of the profits, $5 million I was given up front. I put it all to feed people. I wrote bigger checks. I fed 100 million people last year. I'm doing it again this year without the book. I'm reading, feeding 100 million people. But my point is, when you put all that together, when you lay this thing out, I began to say, who else can help someone? Because I had this site. And afterwards, if you wanted a fiduciary, I recommended like six different firms, big firms. I took no money for it. The problem is that even the fiduciary space, there are people now, I found out something new.
Uh-oh.
There's this little quirk in the law, gray area, where most fiduciaries are called duly registered. That means they're a broker and a fiduciary. So here's what they do. They go, I'm a fiduciary. I'm here to look out for you. But in the middle of the conversation, they switch hats and they become a broker and you don't even know it.
Is that why you say in the book you need it in writing from them?
You need it in writing, or you just need to look it up. You ask them specifically, like in an email, because they'll say, oh yeah, I'm a fiduciary.
Yeah.
And they're not, right? They're a traditional broker. And a broker just has to do for you what it seems like it works. There's no legal requirement. If I'm a fiduciary and I tell you to buy Apple, and you buy it this morning and I buy it later than today and I get a better price, I have to give you my stock.
Yeah.
That's how strong the law is. So it's so, so rare. But now what happened when I found this out, a man who told me about this is a gentleman named Peter Malouk, who's from a company called Creative Planning. And they're the number one rated firm, wealth management firm, for 3 years in a row on, I'm gonna say Bloomberg, not Bloomberg, I'm blanking out. And number two, for 2 years in a row on CNBC. And no one has ever done it for 3 years in a row. So he came to me and told me this, and I was like, I'm recommending these people. I couldn't believe these people were manipulating the system. So, and some of them I know, they're good people, but they need the profit, they think. So they twist it. So I dumped everybody off the site and I said to the man from Creative Planning, Peter, I said, what if we partnered? And he said, it'd be incredible. And so I'm now partners with Peter. I'm a board member on Creative Planning. So everyone knows. So I want to get more people to him, and I get economically reimbursed for that. So everyone's clear. I get benefit for helping to grow the business. But we have $18 billion in assets. And what's beautiful is most billionaires have what's called a home office.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group of people that look out for all your finances. They look out for your mortgage, like mm-hmm. you're doing. They look out to see what's happening to you to protect you legally. So they make sure you got your wills. They make sure, for example, your investments are protected. They have all these people doing it, but it costs a lot of money. You got to be a billionaire mm-hmm. to have one. He came up with this brilliant idea at Creative Planning, which was, what if I created a home office for people that are just small business people, like not billions, somebody with a million or mm-hmm. less? I convinced him to do it for people as little as 50,000. So now somebody who wants coaching, you can do this on your own, mm-hmm. but if you want coaching and go to somebody who charges less than 1% for 99% of the people there, it
depends
and on
you
how
can
many
get
funds.
That written off in your taxes. And,
you
and
your, oh, look at you. You've done your homework.
Depending
you?
On your income bracket. Yes. I read, I took copious notes.
Good for you. Yes. You can write off depending upon your income yeah. bracket, those costs. But now you have a professional who has to look out for you. And in Peter's case, you know, somebody that's has a tremendous track record that's been acknowledged. It's Barron's, who I was going to say, 3 years in a row on Barron's. Mm-hmm. He's been acknowledged as the number one wealth manager in the country. So now I'm putting out the book, but I'm also on somebody, that's why, you know, AJ Gupta has been the person that's represented me for years. He actually merged with Creative Planning because the resources were so strong. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're getting all of these resources as opposed to just someone saying, put your money in this mutual fund, which yeah. obviously can be a disaster.
Which mutual funds hold up. So then I took
you.
It to the next
level. I love
you're on
fire about this. Look at you.
No, I am going to be a genius when it comes to this stuff because I am sick of it. I'm sick of feeling so out of control with
Good
it.
Good for you.
And I want to feel like I know what I'm doing and I want to be able to help the people around me be able to save money too.
It's beautiful.
So mutual funds. Let's talk about this for a second. Did you know these motherfuckers behind the scenes will decide what they're going to charge me? Yes, holy shit. Right. Sorry yes. for the language. But you know what? So it's like, oh, I'm going to invest in Coca-Cola. Well, would you like Coca-Cola A, Coca-Cola B, or Coca-Cola C is what they say when they're in the little computers back yeah. Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Let's charge Maria Coca-Cola C the highest friggin' percentage. Yes. 3.whatever%. Where the Coca-Cola A and Coca-Cola B, they're the same thing.
Yes.
But they're just deciding to charge me more. So when I went in and we were decoding with AJ all this yes. shit, I'm like, what? I got so mad.
But you know where most people have their money in this country? It's in their home or their 401k.
Yeah.
And the 401k area is the worst space because you not only have the fees that people are being overcharged by going into these mutual funds. And by the way, 96% of all active mutual funds fail to match the market. Mm-hmm. Only 4% can do it. But you say, I'm going to find the 4%. The 4 is always changing. I think yep. I shared with you, I know in the book, but I think I've shared personally. The metaphor I give people is, if you've ever been to Vegas and played blackjack 21, you know the gold's gift to 21, don't bust. You can't yep. go over 21. If you get two face cards worth 20, and your inner idiot says, hit me because I think I'm going to get an ace, you have an 8% chance of getting an ace. You have a 4% chance of getting the right mutual fund.
Yeah.
And then these mutual funds, so first of all, they're not effective.
Yeah.
And then second of all, you can go even to an index fund. Like, we recommend index funds. But
Vanguard.
When you go to your 401k, yeah. everybody, we tell them, go to Vanguard. It's the cheapest. You get all the best stocks. And instead of 3.12%, you can get it for 0.12%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like buying, you want to buy a Honda Accord for $30,000 or $1 million.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Isn't
in the,
that insane?
It's the same product. Same exact product. But here's what you got to watch out for. On the 401k side, there are firms that say, okay, we won't give you index funds unless you're a big enough company. The firms that will give you an index fund, some of them will charge a sales load. So it costs for Vanguard 0.14. Okay, that's like one, you know, like 10% of 1%, right? Less, yeah. less than a tiny, tiny, tiny incremental number. But they'll charge you a 3% load, a sales fee. That means they're going to charge you 3.12% still, even though it only costs 1.2. Now, I have a company called America's Best 401k. I found out there's these rules that if you own a small company or a big company and you have a 401k, you as the owner are the fiduciary. I mean, you legally responsible to make sure this is the best fund for your people or you can get sued. And most people don't know that. So
most companies don't know that, or the people that are working?
Don't know it.
Yeah.
Owners don't know it, right? And so the Department of Labor just changed the rules 3 years ago and saying that every year, if you're an owner of a company, you have to benchmark. That means compare your 401k to the best in the business. And if it's not serving your people, you're supposed to change. Well, no one knows it. Most people don't even know what the word fiduciary means,
yeah.
right? So I brought in this company called America's Best 401k. I said, great name, prove it. And they came in and looked at our funds. And I'd asked my head of HR, of course, years ago, go get the best plan for our people. I want the very best. So turns out that our funds were being charged 3.24%. And now we get it for 75 basis points. It saved $5 million for my employees in their pockets over the next 15 years.
Wow.
Just by, and we own the same stocks that we owned before. We're just not paying those fees.
Yeah.
And so you have to watch out, because even you might say, oh, I got an index fund, but what are you paying for it? And as you said, you got to look through it. So you can go to showmethefees.com mm-hmm. and you can put in the information about your company, and it'll give you immediate feedback about what some of the fees are and then what it means through time, because it's mm-hmm. the compounding that really costs. And then if you have one more piece of information, we can tell you the exact number. So you can say, oh my God, if I make this change, I can have the same stocks, but I can save myself a decade of income, or mm-hmm. 2 decades of income, or in some cases, really, truly 3. Because remember, every 1% in additional fees is 10 years of income you give up.
Oh my God.
Because of the compounding of those fees yeah. through time. Right. Literally, think of it this way. Some of you know Jack Bogle. He's the guy that started Vanguard. He's a dear friend of mine. He's been in the business 63 years. He said, Tony, as long as you're investing over the long term, you think you're doing better and better. But what's happening is you're paying more and more fees. So over a 30-year period, 40% of what you would have earned will go to fees on average, depending upon what the fee structure is, because that's how much it compounds. You're giving up half your nest egg
within the 401k.
Within the 401k.
Yeah. Right? I got to skip over 401k because we don't have one.
Okay.
But I was skimming through and I was seeing how horrifying it was for people, because that's what the average person has. The
that's
average
exactly
person
right.
has a 401k. Well,
that's where 80% of people's money is outside. Yeah. Whether they own a home, it's a home and a 401k. Mm-hmm. So that's why I put focus in it. Now, wealthy people, the 401k doesn't matter as much, but there are other tools. Like, for example, if you made $100,000 a year, and what's the goal of investing? It's not to get assets. Assets go up and down. Stocks or bonds, they go up and down. They can drop 50% mm-hmm. in a very short period of time. The goal is income. Income is what gives you financial freedom. If you have enough income, you can travel, you can do whatever you want. You mm-hmm. never have to think. So the challenge is, when you're starting to try and go build this income, most people don't understand the impact of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're wealthy, there's a version like a 401k that's different in that you pay the tax up front. You could pay tax on the seed or on the crop. Which would you rather do? If you're a farmer, you want to pay on the seed or the crop. What would you say?
The seed.
That's right. Yeah. Most people say the crop. You go, why would you pay on the crop? The crop is more valuable. You're going to pay more taxes.
Yeah.
So the government tries to get you to say, do this piece. Don't pay taxes now, pay them later. So someone will say to me, I have a $500,000 in my 401k. And I'll say, no, you have $250,000. They said, no, I got $500,000. I said, no.
You haven't paid your fees yet.
You haven't paid your taxes yet. When you pay your taxes and you're 50%, you're going to have half as much. People don't get that. But if you have a Roth 401k, you pay the tax up front on the seed, it's small.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, you keep all the money. So if you have $1 million, all $500,000 is yours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for people that have more money than just 401ks, if you're making $100,000 or more, there are insurance products that allow you to put your money in an insurance company, invest it. The insurance company uses the umbrella of the tax laws. It's totally legal. It's gone on for 100 years to protect you, just like a 401k or a Roth. You pay the tax up front. But then when you take the money out, if you borrow the money back, which is legal to do, you can borrow up to 98% of that money. You have all that money tax-free. And when you die, the insurance policy pays the IRS all their money. So the IRS is happy. They get paid. But while you're alive, you get all mm-hmm. that money, 98% of that money. Well, if you want to make $100,000 a year in income, most people, you say, how much do you need? You need really 20 times that income. You need $2 million
because
mm-hmm. you're going to get about 5% a year these days, not 10% like a lot of financial planners say. It just doesn't happen. So, wow, okay, so I need to get $1 million to have $100,000 a year, but I'm paying taxes on that. If I don't have to pay taxes on that, I only need $500,000. That could save me a decade. That could save me years of my life. Or if I get the full amount of money, I have twice as much money because half of it isn't going to taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand taxes. And that's part of what they do at Creative Planning also. But you got to understand, when you're investing, there are things you got to understand. You got to understand compounding. You got to understand how to invest so you don't get screwed. You got to mm-hmm. understand fees. And you got to understand taxes. Those are the four things we focus on.
I cannot say enough how ignorance can really just make you so miserable in this arena, because, you know, money isn't everything, obviously, but it's what gives us our freedom.
That's right.
Right. And so it's so important. Anyone who's listening, please, I promise you, like, you have to read this book. You have to take control of your finances. It is so important for you, for your family, for your sanity, for everything, because we go to people and we think, they're the ones that are supposed to handle this. Like, I have people to handle that. And by the way, I do too.
Yeah.
My people I'm teaching right now.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's the biggest mistake we make. And in Hollywood, how many stories have you seen in Hollywood?
I know.
And often it's not just people. It's not, sometimes it's stealing, But more often it's just ignorance. They just don't understand.
They
and
don't.
You wake up and go, my career's over. I've given my all. Mm-hmm. I've given my skill, my ability, my strength, my beauty, my everything to this. And what I have to show for it is nothing. You want to be in a position where you don't have to work.
Yeah.
Now, notice I said, don't have to. If you don't work, you'll be miserable.
Yeah.
Because you got to do something. Even if it's nonprofit work, we as human beings, and when I was growing up, everybody's thing was make enough money, because I grew up poor, make enough money so you're rich and don't have to work. Well, I did that at 26, and then I was bored silly within 3 months, right?
Yeah.
And now I look around at Steve Wynn, my friend, he's 74 years old, and you know, built most of Vegas. Peter Guber here owns the Dodgers, owns the Golden State Warriors, 74 years old. Warren Buffett, 85 years old. They work harder today than when they started. So the goal is get rich and work even harder at what you love.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to work.
Yeah.
It work doesn't feel like work
the work's
anymore.
Happening in the bank as everything's just adding
and
up.
And also you could spend time with your family, raise your children, do whatever you want to do. You don't have to. So now everything you do is I get to,
yeah,
not I have to. That's yeah. freedom. That's what it's about. The book, by the way, is called Money Master the Game.
Guys, it's an absolute must. We have to go to a break, but I have one more thing I have to say to him before we get off the money thing.
Yes.
One of my favorite exercises in the book was when you talked about, you know, how to gain your financial freedom and how to kind of create your dream life, right?
Yes.
And you talk to someone, you're like, how much money do you think you need to live your life?
Yes.
And I was like, 100 million, right? and I'm being the person you were interviewing in the book. And you're like, well, Maria, what would you like to do with that 100 million? I want my own private jet. And I want my own island. And I want all of this. And when you went through the exercise, it's on page 209, I believe.
Wow, you really got this down.
Do not miss it in this book. It's unbelievable when you break it down, because what we never do, and you say this in the book, is we never sit down to calculate yeah. our dreams, yeah. right? So I think I have to keep working like a gerbil, like a crazy yeah. person to make more money. It's like, no, you have money. You just aren't figuring out how to allocate it and how to calculate all of it to see what you want and how to get it.
And also, what's the cost of your dreams? Because we think we got to buy the whole sports
yes.
team, when the truth is the wealthiest people, they finance it or they buy a small piece and get other people to do it. And they get all the benefit of being an owner, but they don't
yeah.
pay $200 million or $1 billion.
Yeah.
They didn't pay $1 million out of their pocket. They leveraged it all.
Yeah.
Whereas the average person's like, I got to buy a jet. You don't have to buy a jet. You don't have to buy a one of those services. There's a thing called Jet Smarter.
Yeah.
One of my sons, I just bought it for. I'm part of the company now too, but I bought him initially the service. And what it allows you to do is you can rent jets, charter jets. That's nice. He doesn't have the money to do that. It allows you also, they bought all the empty legs. Like if you own a jet and I fly to LA and the jet's got to go back to Florida, that's an empty leg. They bought them. So they post once
yeah.
you're a member of the service, and they say, we got a free trip from LA to Palm Beach or LA to New York, and you get on a Gulfstream and you fly for free. My son has flown, I think, like 30 Gulfstreams, Challengers, everything the last 5 months, because he's flexible. He's a coach, so he can go anywhere. He sees, oh, it's a trip to Vegas. I'm going. You know, he gets on the plane.
Hilarious.
And he meets cool people, because other people on that plane
yeah.
also, and he has a blast. So you'd be surprised. The lifestyle you want will cost so much less than you think.
Yes.
But you have to first go through the process to uncover what it really
takes.
Yeah,
like what I want was $10 million.
That's not $200 million. That's not $1 billion.
I know. Yeah. It was wild. I thought that was so fascinating. I think and obviously those are very lofty dreams. I like to dream big. This one, I go, honey, how much do you need? He's like, $1 million a year. I go, because, oh my God, honey.
I had already cut to the chase and figured out what you said.
Yeah,
I'm all about the needs.
Yeah.
Tony Robbins, thank you
Thanks
so much.
I'm running
thank
off you. To Pitbull, Hollywood Boulevard. He's getting
Pitbull.
Stalled. Yeah, he's, you know, his mom had played my audio programs for him when he was a kid, and it shaped him so much. And so it's a big honor for him to get his star on Hollywood. And he asked me if I'd be the person to introduce him. So that's why I'm so sorry. But
how
I
cool. Okay, we got to go.
Thank you
so much, Tony.
Hope you enjoyed that interview. Now you're going to hear from my financial planner. He's also Tony Robbins' financial planner, AJ Gupta. He's going to explain exactly how to access the power of compounding. Listen to this with a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen or a marker. Very, very important.
From news and pop culture to fitness and health to relationships and careers.
This is Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Please welcome AJ Gupta.
Ooh, yeah.
Hi.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
We've done this before, right?
Yes, we have.
We have. Okay, great. Okay. I'm just making sure that I haven't lost my brain completely. It's been a little wild the last couple months.
Yeah, we've had several conversations about these topics over the last 1 year.
Yeah. So I want to start. I told everyone to come up with a number that they could easily put aside for
the rest of their lives, basically, to access the power of compounding. We've talked about compounding, and you know I've read the book. I've almost read it twice now.
Good.
And I'm obsessed with it. The book I'm talking about is Tony Robbins' Money Master the Game. He's actually writing another one right now. Are you working with him on that
That's
one?
That's correct. He's working on it right now as we speak. It's going to be called Unshakable, and it's actually an action plan of what people should be doing.
And that action plan, he kind of was telling me a little bit about it this weekend, is I think because he's anticipating another crash, right?
Yeah, there's always market corrections that happen in every asset class. It's how people react to the correction is what really dictates success versus failure. So he wants to empower investors of how to be unshakable during the next correction.
But we're not seeing the signs of a 2008 correction, are we?
I hope not. You know, usually people don't know what the corrections are going to look like and when it's going to happen, even though there's always people predicting it's going to happen. You know, there's some naysayers that say there's going to be a correction every year. And just like a broken clock, you know, your broken clock is correct twice a day. So since we don't know and we can't predict it, How are we positioned for the portfolio?
I really like that. It took me a little longer than Sean. Sean got it right away. And then I was like, why did he get it and I didn't? Yeah. Oh, there it is. A broken clock right twice a day.
I like
I'm
it.
So blonde right now.
You're channeling through me.
No offense, Lillian. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But this book has been amazing. And I've recommended it to so many people because I think that taking control of your financial health is so important. I think that there are a lot of us who, you know, don't want to deal with it and want someone to deal with it for us. But that comes with a price.
That's correct.
In some ways, more than one.
Right.
I remember I was talking to a friend of a friend who's gone to Tony's seminars. We connected at the airport. And he's like, oh, you're friends with Ted. I'm friends with Ted. And we started talking and how the seminar was and how great Tony is and all this stuff. And then I was like, have you read his book yet? And he's like, no. I go, do you have a fiduciary or a broker? It's like my opening line all the time. And he's like, a broker. And he said it with such confidence. And he lives in Malibu and he's a very successful producer. And I go, yeah, you're getting boned. Okay. I go, you need a fiduciary. And we were talking about it. I'm like, you have to read this book. And I keep begging people to read it because I feel so empowered just having read it. Because even if I haven't taken everything and applied everything, I know so much more. I feel so much more confident about everything. And I'm going to continue learning and growing and making adjustments. And just the few adjustments we've already made together, AJ, and I haven't applied all of them yet because my mom got sick in the middle of everything. Right. Even those few improvements have set me up for so much success and have set me up for the next phase of things that are coming that I was anticipating. Because Tony talks about, you know, success is really based on anticipation, right? Not reaction.
That's
you don't want to be reacting to things. You want to be anticipating them
without
fear, thinking, okay, what if I don't have a job in a year? What am I going to do in that situation? How am I going to set myself up to be safe? What if I can't pay my mortgage next month? How am I going to prepare for that? Whatever it is, or what if I divorce or whatever it is. So I think that it's really important to know a lot more about this and not leave it in everybody else's hands. And I think it's really easy, especially in my industry, because we're all kind of trained that there are people to handle that for us so we can go be creative and be talent and all of that. And it's not smart.
You have to be your own advocate. You cannot just blindly trust anyone. You have to understand what you have. It's fun talking with you, Maria, because you're always taking notes. You're absorbing all the information. Even when Tony was writing the book, I'd been running one of the top wealth management teams at the biggest brokerage firms in the world that you'd recognize. But when I had an opportunity to have front row seats to meet or listen to all the interviews that Tony did with, if it was Carl Icahn, Warren Buffett, or Ray Dalio, I learned more in that 250 hours of audio content than I have in the last 20 plus years being an advisor. It was an unbelievable learning experience for me.
Yeah, it's amazing. And he talks about if you want to master something, you need to find the master of it and model them and follow them and learn from them. So, you know, it's so important. And he did call me his best student the other day. I'm just going to say.
Congratulations. Very nice.
I thought that was really exciting. I'm such a student, teacher's pet. I'm like, really? Really? Thanks. But anyhow, I told everyone here, I said, to help everyone who's listening really understand the power of compounding, and even myself, because I don't know where to direct people to. I know the power of compounding now because I've read the book, but I want to use these guys as the example So I said, everyone come together today and tell me how much you can put aside each week. Is it a dollar? Is it $5? Is it $20? Is it more? And then we can illustrate through one of these guys, whoever wants to step up, how to do it. But then also how to do it physically, like what banking institution is it available to people at all of the banking institutions? You know, if Lauren works at does her banking with Wells Fargo, who is she talking to and what exactly is she setting up? Because it's not just a general savings account, is it?
That's correct. It's typically an investment account, and you want to make sure that you're going to the right institution that can give you the right counsel, and also that you understand what the fees are, because like compounding, fees can have a compounding effect over time as well, too.
Yeah, 1 or 2% makes a huge difference. And I did not know that. I was like, oh, it's only 1 extra percent. No big deal. And then when you realize if we do the same things over the next 20 years, I'm going to be left with like half of what you ended up with over.
You're right.
And we've done the same thing. We've put the same amount of money in.
You're right on, Marie. Let me give you an example. I think this is the best way for the listeners to really understand. Every day I see people spending money, and I see them spending money, you know, very quickly. And let's just say that every morning I see people going to Starbucks as an example, and they're spending $3, $4, $5 a coffee. And what if they made, and sometimes they go there multiple times a day, mm-hmm. but what if they just went to another place? Well, I'm just pick Dunkin' Donuts or whatever the case might be. But say they save $2 on buying that coffee. And if they just take that $2 and invest it every day, and let's just say they put it into the S&P 500 index fund, low cost index fund, starting at the age of 25, just by that $2 a day savings, they're going to have $221,000 saved at the age of 65, almost $250,000 just by that small, minute decision of saving $2 a day. Mm-hmm. You go to $5 a day, $10 a day, you can see staggering numbers.
And you're a millennial. By 40, you're going to have that.
That's great. It's just amazing. The power of compounding, starting earlier versus later, focusing on the fees. I'll tell you, I see people buying fancy cars and I'm thinking, gosh, I know that's out of their budget. But if they started taking some of the savings and investing in themselves, I'm not telling them to give it away, just investing for their long-time retirement, mm-hmm. it creates so much certainty. And it's just about getting started, putting a small amount away, and not delaying. Because the power, the more you delay, the bigger the impact can be when you retire.
Explain the theory behind compounding for everyone.
Okay, so let me give you an example. Let's just say I'm going to explain the theory of compounding, and I'm going to loop in fees of how they can have an impact over time.
Great. So I wish we had a chalkboard for everyone. Here's your visual chalkboard, everyone. Your audible chalkboard.
I'm going to try to paint the chalkboard so people can visualize it. But let's just say you've got two people. Both are 35 years old and both have $100,000 saved. I'm just going to use that as a round number. It could be $10,000. It could be $1 million. I'm just going to use $100,000 as an example. Both investors earn 8%. Over the next 30 years. So they're 35 and they want to retire at 65. The only difference between these two investors is one investor is paying 3% in fees internally. They usually don't see it, but they're paying 3%. And the other investor is paying 1%. So one could say, okay, 1%, 3%, it's not that much, a couple $1,000s a year. But over 30 years of compounding, the person that was paying 3% in fees has about $432,000 saved. They never put any more money away. It's just that $100,000 that they started with. The person that was paying 1% in fees has $761,000 saved, 76% more. Mm-hmm. Now, people have come back to me and said, hey, Jay, I know, I get it. More is better than less. But what does that really mean, 700 versus 400 and change? Well, I go, now they retire at the age of 65. Now they want to withdraw $5,000 a month or $60,000 a year for their retirement lifestyle, buying gifts for their grandchildren, healthcare, little travel plans, but they want to retire and live very comfortably. Again, both investors have the identical returns of 8% and the same difference, 1% versus 3% in fees. The person that's paying 1% in fees will run out of money at the age of 95. The person that's paying 3% in fees is going to run out of money before their 75th birthday, 20 years earlier. Just imagine. And that's the worst time to go out and try to find a part-time job.
You can't.
So those little fee differences can have a huge impact of when you run out of money. So what I wanted to illustrate there was how the money grows over time, because money's growing every year.
In multiples.
In multiples, because in year one, you earn interest. But in year two, you earn interest plus interest on your interest. You do that year in, year out. It's just it's the magic of compounding.
Yeah. And that's why, and you can't, like whatever you commit to, it's like a domino effect, like, or a Jenga. Like you can't take one out you know, you can't miss a payment or the power of compounding goes away.
You have to be disciplined because every single day there's a reason not to invest. Oh, there's this happening. Oh, there's that happening. There's a problem in Europe or the oil prices. There's never been a really good time to invest other than right now, every day, regularly. So come up with a plan where you can afford to put away a specific dollar amount, whatever that number is, but start. And volatility is your friend if you're young and saving, because as things go down, that same dollar amount is buying more units of that investment. Mm-hmm. So you want to be continuing to invest in good and bad times. And it's amazing as you look back after several years, you start seeing that compounding effect and you start feeling really good about it and you start looking for ways to save even more.
So this is something where the investment would be like a low cost index fund where that would continue to multiply. Is that what they would be investing in? Like they're $20 a week?
So part of our philosophy is if you look at the active mutual fund industry where you hire a money manager that's charging higher fees and trying to outperform the indexes, let's just use
96% of the time they don't.
Right on. 96% of those active money managers are underperforming those indexes. And why not just buy the index?
Yeah.
And the 4% that are outperforming are always changing. So how are you trying to pick this and change? You're chasing the returns.
Yeah.
But if you can go and find those low-cost index funds, rebalance every single year, have a proper strategy in place, it's a winning solution that's winning for clients.
So who has a number that they've committed to and who wants to do this here?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing it, but here's my situation. Okay. Maybe you can help me with this is, you know, I just left my job.
Right.
And so I'm totally in transition. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so, and I always put money aside before. Do I still try to put money aside even though I don't know when my next paycheck's going to come?
Okay. Great question. So if you can afford to still putting a little money aside, I'd say don't stop. If for any reason you can't, that's where you have that money for to support your living standards in between, basically.
Right.
The way I start is, people often ask me, you're in the business, but you know, I live here, I live there. Where should I go for proper guidance? And I want to take a minute to make sure that people understand. Maria mentioned earlier, are you a broker or are you a fiduciary? Most Americans don't even know the difference.
They don't even know what fiduciary is.
They don't even know. Yeah. You could actually YouTube, what is a fiduciary? There's some amazing thing where people like, what they think what the word fiduciary means, you laugh watching that.
You would have laughed with my definition. I can't remember what it was now, but I didn't know. No clue.
AJ, don't you think all brokers should have fiduciary responsibility to the client?
That's what you would want to believe. So there's two standards. There's a standard of the advisor has to be legally obligated to be suitable, showing you suitable investments. That's one approach. And the other approach is the advisor has to be legally doing what's in your best interest.
Like AJ's been on both sides.
That's correct. I was a broker. I used to only be legally obligated to do what was suitable for investors. But who wants to go out for a suitable dinner? Who wants to have suitable sex?
Really good way of putting it.
Right. So it's like AJ wasn't giving people bad advice, but at times there were things that his company, let's say, would advise for them to do, and there are hidden percentages behind some of these that you don't really know unless you really investigate. So that world.
That's the big difference, Maria. It really is are there incentives to recommend something else versus the other?
Exactly.
I always use, you go to a doctor, you've been diagnosed with cancer, and you have a choice to go to two equally qualified doctors. One doctor says, I'm going to charge you X dollars for the visit, and I'm going to tell you exactly what you should do to recover. The other doctor will say, you don't have to pay me anything. However, I'm going to get compensated by wherever I refer you to. That's where the conflict is, because if one person is paying you more to refer, they're going to be incentivized. I'm not saying that everybody will do it, but environment is stronger than willpower, and you want to remove yourself from that environment. So a broker is compensated differently depending on what they recommend. A fiduciary is legally obligated. So if I'm showing you shares of Coca-Cola, as an example, or a mutual fund, or an apartment building, we're just charging an advisory fee, and we're indifferent. We just have to design what we believe is in your best interest.
Yeah, very, very important. And I still am like dumbfounded that nobody knows about this. I'm like, why isn't everyone reading this book? Okay, so who's got a number that they are going to commit to today?
I can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do this, Lauren.
I realize I spend money on food that isn't necessary. I could pack lunches and you know, just not spend money going out to eat. So,
and how excited are you going to be when you have a shit ton of money someday because you made the sacrifice now? Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to sit on a pile of cash. So I would like to commit to 20 a week.
Okay. So just to kind of give you an idea of 20 a week, which is, by the way, is great.
And how old are you, Lauren?
27.
Okay. Here comes the magic.
Yeah, so let's just do it. So let's just say you did 20 excited. A week, 20 a week. Let's just say $4 a day, $3. Let's just say $3 a day. Here we go.
He's so calculating.
Yeah, so, you know,
so I'm just Maria's dancing too, just so you can get the visual.
I'm just going to use round numbers for a moment, but let's just say that you were putting, you know, between $20 and $30, you're putting away $3 a day or $1,000 a year. What that really, and still earning 8% in 40 years from now, that's going to be $332,000.
Oh, that's not going to feel good, is it?
It's going to feel great.
Yes.
By that small shift, just by making that sandwich at home versus going out and spending 3X and not knowing what you're eating, if it's healthy or not healthy, at least you can control it. I encourage people, even if it's just one small shift, but the power of compounding and the power of time, it's amazing what you can see the results.
So $20 a week, okay, mm-hmm. for 20 years is going to yield her 300 how much?
Let's just do this. I'm going to plug this into real quick. So $20 a week mm-hmm. Times 4, it's going to be 80. So let me just divide this by number of days. Here we go. I've got a little calculator here. So we got 2.66.
Is there somewhere people can do this?
You can go online. If you go online and just Google financial calculator, retirement calculators, there's no shortage of these things that'll okay. come up. You plug in how much you want to save. You plug in what assumed rate of return that you'll return and how many years you want to save for.
What is that? Exactly.
So depending on how you're investing, if you look at the history of the U.S. stock market, which has gone through major corrections over the years, but it's been averaging 9-10% this past century okay. in the last 100 years. So I'd say you might not want to use those numbers.
Be conservative, put 8.
But yeah, exactly. Use that okay. as a number and you plug in that 8 and you put in, let's just say I'm using $3 a day again, but that's $332,000 saved in 40 years.
Saving
40 years, yeah.
Wow. $3 a day.
Right. And $3.
$3. That's one coffee.
One coffee. That's, you know, it's a lot more expensive to buy lunch than $3 a day. I'll tell you that.
So what would you say to somebody who, like, I'm 50 years old. What would you say to somebody like me?
Who's, first of all, you'd be like, what? 50?
I didn't believe what you told
anyway,
me.
Anyway.
I don't believe
go ahead.
You.
I still thank don't you. Believe it.
Assuming you were 50. No. is what I would say is it's never too late to start. Number one is you want to look at your expenses right now and look and say, what's a need versus what's a want? Mm-hmm. You always want to distinguish yeah. what's the difference between those two, needs versus wants. And then once you look at the wants, you could say, okay, how important are these wants? And what if I pulled back on some of those wants and just started saving on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis? Now, over and above that, if you have some savings, this is where people, this is where I try to help people direct them to the right location. So I always say, if you're just getting started or you have no savings, or let's just say you have less than $100,000 of savings, I say, go to Vanguard Advisor Services. It's a great large institution with no load funds, ultra low cost, very transparent. Mm-hmm. They'll help you get a plan, help you get started. And if you've accumulated more than $100,000, then we have to take an extra step. We want to look at what you're doing right now. You want to get a second opinion. There was a survey done recently that 94% of Americans, if they found out that their advisor was not legally obligated to do what's in their best interest, they'd seek a second opinion. So if you want to go to a website, it's called www.getasecondopinion.com. It's a link that you can plug in your details and you'll have an individual walk you through and give you a second opinion on what you're presently doing and help you
so
put a plan together.
So when you go to the Vanguard that you were just talking about, who do you ask for?
You actually just, if you just Google Vanguard Advisor Services, it has a toll-free number over there and you'll be in touch with an advisor who can hold your hand, ask you the proper risk tolerance questions, understand your age, understand where you're coming from, what you're trying to accomplish. And then they'll put together a plan for you.
So now Lauren puts in this $3 a day.
Right.
In 20 years, she's going to wake up at 47. You said you're 27. Yeah. She's going to wake up at 47, super rich. What if along the way, she's like, I have $6 today. I'm going to throw this in. What happens then? Like, it just continues to multiply. So she can't take away the $3 a day. Otherwise, she loses the power of compounding. But she can add to it and have that even inflate more too, right?
Well, the money that she has saved will always continue to grow and compound over time. But the power of continuing to save on existing savings and having time on your side, that's where you see the big numbers change. Mm-hmm. It's just when I use $3 and you're seeing $330,000, that's a big number. That's a big number. And it's little decisions like that.
Yeah. See how easy that is? Like, think about that. $3 a day.
Yeah, that's easy. If you're seriously, I mean, I know some people are like, what? But that's easy. For most people.
$3 a day. Yeah. And in 20 years, you wake up with $332 or whatever $1,000. Lauren, are you going to do this?
Hell yeah.
When are you calling?
Yeah. You
after
know,
you finish your after, work for the show.
Exactly.
I'll tell you the number. And if you did $20 a day, which is $600 a month, I'm just using another example. That's $2.2 million
Holy
after 40
shit.
Years.
Holy
shit. Yeah, so it's a
40 years, you'd be a multimillionaire. Yeah,
see, now when you look at my stuff, like I'm really upset because I think because I didn't do low cost index funds. I did like straight up broker shit, mutual funds. So I haven't had the power of compounding because I would just put in a chunk here, a chunk there. And so I never got to get that benefit of compounding, right?
Well, you had the savings, which was important, and it was compounding, but wasn't optimized because you were paying higher fees.
Yeah.
Just imagine saving an extra 1 or 2% in fees. That's a savings.
Yeah.
Instead of putting more money into the deposit every month, if you just reduce fees or reduce borrowing costs or reduce your tax bill, all those are all levers that help yeah. you optimize your wealth.
Like I can do this right now and still wake up at retirement age and have $2 something million.
That's correct.
Bam. How do you like me now? $20 a day. I'll starve myself for $20 a day. Like what? I would do anything to wake up 20 years with $2.2 million. Like that's insane.
It's the biggest fears of Americans right now is the fear of running out of money. Yeah. That's the biggest fear right now of Americans is running. And most people, unfortunately, are not prepared.
Here, you know, my parents have always been saving. Mm-hmm. And at one
point... But you
got to
save right.
Well, oh, no. They've been doing it right. They've been doing it right. And now, here it is. My father's sick. Okay. And my mom...
She knows all about that. By the way, your sister is in my nightly prayers.
Oh, my God.
And
thank you, Maria.
And I don't know how she's doing, but I want to know...
Anita's doing really well, and she's finished her chemo, and she's recovering. And when I hear her voice, the room lights up.
Are we cancer-free yet?
We're going through that testing. She's going through the radiation, so we're going to find out soon.
So I have 4 people, and of course, Lillian's 5 now as well, because I kept forgetting people in my prayers. And so I started doing this thing where I have my little icon thing that I grew up with. I put it on my mantle, and I go up there, and I pray. And this way, I can be focused. I don't fall asleep. So I've got... my mom, I've got your sister, I've got my housekeeper's daughter, I've got Lillian's dad, and I've got our other friend Mackenzie's mom.
Okay.
All cancer. And so we've got my housekeeper's daughter just got her news. She's cancer free. So nice. I was like, oh, they're listening. Aww. Okay, cool. So then I was like, maybe AJ's going to come with good news. I can knock her off my list too.
It's good news. It's
and then
improving.
We're down to just us, Lillian. Yes. Us and Mackenzie. And I'm like, it's so exciting to hear that she's doing well. So thank you.
Thank you, Maria. Yeah. Thank you for having me in your prayers.
Thanks for sharing that.
So what I was saying was that with my dad, with my parents, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, they've moved pretty much over here. My dad was getting treated at City of Hope. So there's... my sister and I are like caretakers, but we realized 24-hour caretaking and trying to have a job and everything, it's a lot. So next thing we knew, we were like, okay, Dad, we're going to need a little help. So we had to hire in some help to come in 4 or 5 hours a day. Of course, there's costs now going into it. So we're looking, and my sister and I are now, you know, we are power of attorneys for their finances, sure. trying to help them out. Yeah. And then we're thinking, okay, Mom's like totally healthy. What's going to happen to Mom? And we literally started doing the calculation as to getting people to come in, paying them, if Mom had to go somewhere, if God forbid, but if she did, then how much is that? And all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, she'll be completely out of money like in 6 years.
Yeah, well, that's why a lot of parents end up moving in with their kids because
it's so expensive.
People get hit with medical bills they can't handle. They go bankrupt and then they're moving in with their kids. I almost did a story on this for the Today Show because it was just, it's become an epidemic.
And they've saved their entire lives. They've done great savings. I mean, when we looked at their savings, we're like, oh, right on. You guys are set. And then we started doing all of this stuff and we're like, oh, you're not set at all.
Yeah.
And that's what's scary.
Yeah, because everyone thinks this won't happen to me. You know, I always say hope is not a strategy. When people say, I hope I don't get sick when I'm not working anymore. Yeah. Or I hope I'm dealing with a fiduciary. Or I hope I don't run out of money. So, hope is not a strategy. You just need to be an advocate for your financial affairs. As I mentioned, you go to Vanguard if you're getting started. Or go to getasecondopinion.com if you've accumulated some wealth. But have a plan. Have someone review it. Not just the investment side. Make sure that you've got your trust and estate planning and wills all set up. Make sure that your assets are titled properly. It's amazing. We're auditing someone's beneficiary designation on their retirement accounts, and we found out that this person's ex-wife of 20 years was still the beneficiary of his retirement account. And his number one goal, his number one objective was, I want to make sure that my wife of 20 plus years never runs out of money if something happens to me. And his ex-wife
wife's now getting it.
We fixed it, but it was just shocking. He was like, I can't
believe
it
happened.
This was a small retirement account that he didn't pay that much attention to. It grew into a very nice retirement account. And so go through those checklists. Make sure that someone's looking at all the little pieces. It's not just about the savings, but it's also make sure that you have everything else checked up.
Creative Planning, his website, thinkbeyond.com and getasecondopinion.com. Vanguard Advisor, the services he was talking about, you can go to vanguard.com. And AJ, I think I got all your websites, right?
Yeah, I think the best one is getasecondopinion.com. Okay. That's the best one because you can go there and all the details are there.
Okay, great. That does it for us, guys. Thank you so much for listening to our free Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Help us, please, by rating and commenting on iTunes, and be sure to tell a friend. Check us out on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109 weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can also hear us on demand on the SiriusXM app. Join our Conversations crew if you guys want to join our newsletter with life-changing tips and tricks, lots of great giveaways, and so much more. Please email us at conversationswithmaria@gmail.com, or you can click the link in my Instagram bio. Follow us at Maria Menounos, at SiriusXM Stars, at The Love Dog, at Lauren LaGrasso, at Haley Clover, and remember, guys, be nice people, make good choices.